Let's go to the word. Thank you, Father, for your spirit within us. Thank you, Father, for the ability that we have by your spirit. Thank you, Father, for the fullness that we've received upon resurrection. Thank you, Father, for that spirit of wisdom that we have. We do decree and declare that there is accuracy this evening. And as the word of truth is taught, there is precision. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. And at the end of this meeting, as believers, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Amen. So turn your Bibles with me to Philemon chapter 6. Philemon has one chapter. Philemon chapter 6, that the communication of thy faith might be effectual by the acknowledging. Come out. Where is Philemon? True. Philemon 1:6. Let's start from verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Yeah, you know, so this is a very, I was reading Philemon this morning and I saw a lot of, you know, just about 24, 25 verses, but it's so technical, but not technical, but it's full of a lot of wisdom. I mean, Apostle Paul always writes with things that are wise, or writes a lot of things that deal with wisdom. So we see him saying that there's a prayer he was praying, and that prayer is that the communication of thy faith, the supply, the fellowship of thy faith might be effectual. How is he effectual? By acknowledging every good thing that is in you, that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. By acknowledging every good thing that is in you, that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah. You know, this acknowledging entails what? You know, the word they're acknowledging means what? Comprehensive understanding. Is that true? Yeah, the word they're acknowledging means comprehensive understanding, having a comprehensive understanding concerning something, not just not just having surface comprehension. Comprehensive understanding. Now, how do we get comprehensive understanding? By laboring and studying and learning from men teaching us. Yeah, we learn the doctrine to have comprehensive understanding. You know, for instance, Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 was praying that your eyes of understanding might be enlightened. You know, the answer to that prayer in chapter 1 verse 17, 18, 19 is found in chapter 3 verse 4, where he says that when you read, ye might understand. Ephesians 3 verse 4. It says that when ye read, ye might understand. So the answering to your eyes of understanding being enlightened is when you what? Read. Yeah, it is when you read. That is why when we pray for people, we pray for people that have heard the truth of God's word first, then we pray for their hearts to be open to receive. You know, we can pray for them before and after and stuff like that, you know. But he's saying that we should have a comprehensive understanding of this, and this would give birth to an effective relationship that will be displayed in our lives, you know. And we've just been looking at that new man in Christ. Who is that new man in Christ? That new man in Christ is that man that has believed the gospel, that man that has been brought forth by the Holy Ghost from the womb of the Holy Ghost, that has brought forth by the work of resurrection. That new man in Christ is that man that has faith and faith in the work of Christ, you know. And so in this series, we were dealing with the wrath of God, which is what we will just summarize this evening. We're going to look at, you know, we've looked at what the wrath of God is, and we established that the wrath of God is a what? Recompensation for a man's activity. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says something very interesting. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You see, without controversy, we establish that to say that there is no discernment. There is no dissenting voice, rather. There is everything is said in agreement. Everything is said in agreement. Everything is said in agreement. You know, no dissenting voice. It means that everyone is in agreement with something, that the mystery of godliness is seen and is expressed in the fact that God was made manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit. Yeah, so we're trying to examine, in our last meeting, we were able to establish that the fullness of God mankind has seen is who? Christ, right? So Christ is the express, exact image of God. So if you're looking for God, you want to see who God is, or want to know who God is, who do you look for? You look for Christ. If you want to know who God is, who Christ came to reveal God to mankind. Christ came to reveal God to mankind as a Father. As a Father. You know, we looked at that. We saw Hebrews 13:8 that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We looked at what wrath is. We explained some scriptures. We looked at Numbers 23, talking about the serpent biting, you know, turn with me to Exodus chapter 16, verse 7. Look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 7. See what it says. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of God, for that he heareth the murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that will murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to full. And for the Lord heareth the murmurings which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregations of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the clouds. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard thy murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came upon and covered the camps, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. You know, we looked at this last week and saw that the previous verse had already mentioned that they ate bread. And we try to examine what Jesus said about bread. What did Jesus say about bread? He is the bread that came from heaven. He is the bread from heaven. Their fathers thought they ate bread in the wilderness, but no. I am that bread from heaven. You know, so the bread from heaven, which is that daily bread, is Jesus Christ. Christ is the bread. Christ is that bread that a believer eats by believing in the resurrection, by believing in the work of Christ. So a believer that has believed in the work of Christ has eaten of that bread from heaven. Yeah. So we just use that to establish certain things. You know, like I said today, we're going to examine wrath of God. You know, if you go through a lot of those Old Testament books, it looks like it is saying that God is killing. God is responsible for killing. Look at Numbers 11. But remember, the exact image of God is seen in Christ. How do we know God? How do you know God? How do you know God's true nature? We look at Christ. How do we clear all confusions about God? We look at Christ. Numbers 11 verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. Yeah, so if you read that verse alone, what is it saying? God consumed, right? Is that not true? Turn to chapter 14, verse 27. Go to chapter 14, verse 27, the same chapter. Chapter 14, verse 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmured against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which murmured against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Look at what he now says in verse 29. What he says, God is saying he will do to them, right? See what verse 29 is saying. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. Is that God? Oh, well, he says God, right? He says, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upwards, which have murmured against me. What does it mean for your carcasses should fall in the wilderness? Is that figurative for death? Yeah? So you die in the wilderness. Look at chapter 16, verse 45. Numbers 16, verse 45. Numbers chapter 16, verse 45. Numbers 16:44, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. Oh glory to God. He says, get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. You know, so he's even looking like God has favorites, right? It looks like God is asking Moses, I want to destroy everybody, but just run away, yeah? Yeah, so he says, and they fell upon their faces. Look at what verse 46 now says. It now says, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. Yeah, it looks like wrath is from God. It looks like wrath is from God. It looks like it was God that was destroying. Yeah, now remember, where were these experiences happening? Is that true? Do you agree with him? Where were these experiences happening? In the turn your Bible to First Corinthians. Remember, we explain Old Testament books by looking at what the apostles wrote about them. First Corinthians chapter 10. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 1. Are we there? Okay, let me give you a few seconds. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, in the sea. Can you see? Remember that teacher when I was speaking about an introduction to baptism? When you see baptism, the word baptism, you don't always think of water. Yeah? Yeah. So when he says baptized into Moses, he's not saying that Moses' stomach was open and the liquid from him came out and they entered. No. Yeah? So baptized unto his doctrine. Look at verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Now, if you read the story of the Israelite journey, you will see that there was a rock that, remember that rock that Moses used his rod to hit, and water came out, right? Did they drink water from there? Yes, miraculous water from there. But what was that rock typifying? Look at verse 4. It says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was what? Christ. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So there was a rock that Moses hit, and water was supplied to quench their thirst at the time. But that was typical and figurative for what? Christ. He says that rock was Christ. Look at verse 5. But with many of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Is that true? Okay. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Look at verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 320,000. Look at that. Look at verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of what? They were destroyed of what? Serpents. So, let us not tempt Christ, as some of them did. They were destroyed of serpents. Okay, look at it. Now, look at what he's really saying. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. And what? Destroyed of who? They were destroyed of who? They were destroyed of who? The thief cometh to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I've come to give you life, and you might have it in abundance. Yeah. So anywhere you see destruction, you see stealing, and you see thieving. Killing, destroying, destruction, killing, and stealing. It is of a thief. So if you attribute any action of destruction to God, you simply call God a what? A thief. Yeah, but Paul makes us understand that the murmuring that they murmured, the way Moses wrote it, if you read it independently, it looks like it was God that destroyed. But what did he call the person that destroyed? The destroyer. They were destroyed of the destroyer. They were destroyed of the destroyer. Look at Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 10. Ezekiel 33 verse 10. Let's just go to 11 straight away. Ezekiel 33 verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord. So who is talking? Okay, yeah, the prophet Ezekiel is talking, right? So can we call this utterance? Yeah, so say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of what? The wicked. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11. But that the wicked should turn from his way and to live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? For why will, now, look at it though. It says, turn from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now remember, Paul says something in Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. He said, look, run to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10, the next book after the book of Acts, Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Remember, we're going to look at the wrath of God extensively for like a month, 2 months. And we'll be dealing with only the wrath of God. But we're dealing with this wrath of God aspect just under the series of the new man. Yeah, so it's not as extensive as you might want it to be or as we might want it to be. But for now, just to round up the new man, look at Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that what? That they may be what? They may be saved. My heart desire is that they may be saved. Look at what it now says. For I bear them record that they have a what? That they have a what? Let's read from verse 1 to 3 together. 1 to 3, go. You see, Ezekiel 33 says what? The Lord says, as I live, I do not derive pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. Yeah, he now says, but I want that they turn their way. So you see, Paul's cry here was that what? Israel should repent. Yeah, because the Israelites thought that they were the only saved people. They thought that, we are the only ones that can be saved. No other tribe can be saved. Only we. That's what you call tribalism. Yeah, but Paul was trying to say that even in what they are doing, it is my heart desire that they should be saved. Because what? Salvation is not just coming from a Jewish lineage, but salvation is believing in the work of Christ. Yeah, we find ourselves in a very interesting generation where it looks like we pray more for Israel because we say that it's God's holy nation. Have you heard people say those things? You know, countries give their tithe to Israel. You know about that? Countries remit billions and lots because that is God's city. God's city, which is Israel, is the body of Christ. That Mount Zion, where we have innumerable angels, that is you and I. That is God's Israel. God's Israel is not the Israel where you go to and go and see water baptism or go and see where the tomb is. God's Israel now becomes that city, that land of the Lord, that is a constituent of the people that have believed the gospel, which is the body of Christ. So we are God's Israel. We are God's holy people. You know, 2 Peter will say what? We are God's holy people, peculiar nation. We are God's people. Yeah, but so Israelites just thought, we are Jew, we are saved. No, but Paul is saying that my heart desire is that they have a zeal. Fine, yes, they have a zeal, but they are not what? Saved. So his heart desire was that they should be saved. They should be saved. You know, so Paul was making a very interesting argument and standpoint for salvation by faith and faith alone in the book of Romans. Yeah, he was making a very interesting argument, you know, and you know we saw the summary and the brief look of how Paul explained the wrath of God. Hallelujah. You know, we've seen that Christ is the express image. Now, think about something. You know, I've asked this question before. Does the devil destroy? Yeah, does the devil destroy? Okay, so if we say that God destroys, that means we can collect like terms between God and the devil. Is that true? Okay, think about this question again. So, okay, let me not ask it that way. So that means we can collect like terms from God and the devil. That means put God here, put devil here. Let's find the highest common factor, destruction. Yeah, would it make sense? Which it wouldn't make sense, you know. But we see that, so you can't really say that, you cannot say at all that God has an attribute with the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God is not a God that wants to show his power, so he puts you in difficult situations before you can, so to show his power. I want to show to you that I can drive very well and control a car, and I start driving at 260. I just want to prove to you, and the car with me, what will you do? You will shift, but how will you shift? The car is already on 260. But imagine, you have to think about it with your pastor, so you have to believe in eternal life. Hallelujah. Yeah, so like I said, you cannot go and buy 2 bags of rice and come and pour it all over on this field. When Brother Stanley now asks, what are you doing? I'm just trying to prove that I can sweep. Yeah? So God will not. God is not. You see, starting from the Adam sin is where we begin to have misconception that God put another a fruit and told him not to. Why did God create evil in the first place? Do you understand? God created the fruit of good and evil and created the fruit of evil. He now put it there and now said, Adam, don't go there. Why? Are you calling him a good father? Do you understand? So it's a misconception we have had from the beginning of time. You know, but a clear explanation of Genesis will show us God's true nature. Hallelujah. So we see that God, Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. The only time, if you can show us a scripture, think about this. If we say that God used to kill before, yeah, you know, people say that God used to kill before, but God stopped killing when Jesus came. Have you heard people say that? Yeah, so how do those people explain Ananias and Sapphira's story? And if you look at it properly, they can't really explain the Ananias and Sapphira story. You know, God's ability is to save. The wrath of God is an activity, or it is a recompensation that a man gets for what? An unbelief or a disobedience to that instruction of God. That's what we call the wrath of God. We call it a recompensation. Look at Romans 12 verse 17. Romans 12 verse 17. I think we're in Romans just now. Look at 17 to 21. It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. What scripture does this look like? An eye for an eye. Okay, and that's when they were asking Jesus. There's a major scripture we have used in this theme. This looks like an instruction Jesus is giving now. Think about it. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Matthew 5, right? Be perfect as your heavenly father is perfect. Yeah, if you do good to only those that do good to you, what difference are you from the unbelievers? Yeah, so recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Look at verse 18. If it is possible, as much as delight in you, live peaceably with all men. Let's read verse 17 to get 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read 17 to 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So look at verse 19. Dear beloved, avenge not yourself. Look at it though. Dear beloved, avenge not what? Is avenge not yourself equal to recompense to no man evil for evil? Is that? Avenge not yourself. Is it equal to what? Recompense to no man evil for evil? Now, if it's now saying avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. Is that not a confusing statement? He's saying recompense to no man evil for evil. If it is possible, live peaceably with all men. Next thing he now says is avenge not yourself. So have we seen three positive things you should do? Check your Bible. What is the first thing? Everyone together, what's the first thing? The next thing is what? If it's possible, live what? Peaceably with all men. What's the third one? Avenge not yourself. If he now says, but rather give place to wrath, what will giving place to wrath be? Come again. Okay. Look at it. Recompense to no man. I'm talking to you now. Recompense to no man evil for evil. If it is possible and light with you, live peaceably with all men. Avenge not for yourself. Is that what it says? But give place to wrath. Remember, the three actions initially were actions he is to take. Is that true? Okay, so the three actions he was to take. The second one, the fourth one, are they on the same page? So what is but give place to wrath? What will give place to wrath be? Learn how to manage wrath. So what will your activity be in learning how to manage wrath? Beautiful. That's it. So can we say that giving place to wrath is actually do not yield to wrath? Okay, check it again. Yeah? Look at it again. recompense to no man evil for evil. If possible, live peaceably with all men. Avenge not for yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. So, what is the real message he's saying? Walk in forgiveness. Is that true? So, the moment you say walk in forgiveness 3 times, but you are saying give place to wrath, what you are really saying is actually don't give place to wrath. So, that would be more like a figurative for what? Don't yield to wrath. So, you see, don't allow people get back a punishment for what they've done. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Don't allow people get back a punishment for what they've done. Why? Because he first of all told you, do not recompense evil for evil. Live peaceably. Avenge not. The moment you begin to look at give place to God as you are the one that wants to give somebody what he want to repay somebody back for what he has done, you've negated the first 3 instructions. Is that true? Is that true? If first instruction 1, 2, 3 is saying forgive, and third one is making it look like don't forgive, it's confusing. And you know how it is that, for instance, you know, if somebody does good to you 50 times and it does one bad thing to you one, you know that one has an ability to overshadow all the 50 he has done. Yeah, that's the normal way people are. Yeah, it has the ability. So you can imagine if Paul is saying walk in love, walk in love, walk in love, and he's now saying don't walk in love, it would mean that Paul is really saying don't walk in love. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It would mean that he's saying don't walk in love, but that will be see the next thing he says. He says, for it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Remember that explanation I gave? One pastor was trying to quote this verse. What did he say? He said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Do you understand that? Vengeance is mine. See, the normal way an average mind will read that is that the Lord is saying vengeance is mine. This is the Lord. He's saying vengeance is his own. Yeah, but me, I'm now saying God is saying vengeance is for me. Do you understand that? Vengeance is mine, say the Lord. But look at it. If he's saying walk in, he says, I will repay, say the Lord. Look at what he says in verse 20 and 21. You must not miss out. Let's read 20 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Look at that. He's making it look as if now, what is, look at it. The first instruction is recompense no man evil for evil. Second instruction is walk peaceably with all men. Third one is avenge not for yourself. Paul now comes in the middle and say, give place to wrath. Yeah? The next thing Paul now says is what? If your enemy is hungry, do what? What is Paul really teaching? Unforgiveness of forgiveness. Do you understand what we just did? So we cannot use give place to wrath to be that you are the one to try to make him get a recompensation for what he has done. That's not giving place to wrath. Giving place to wrath will mean that do not yield to wrath. Why? Because the next thing he said is what? Therefore, if your enemies be hungry, what do you do? Feed him. If he's thirsty, what do you do? Give him water to do. Now look at it again. When you think of coal or fire, normally speaking, what should come to your mind? Fire. Yeah? When you think of coal or fire, he says, for by doing this, you shall heap coal of fire upon his head. Is that what he says? Look at it again. He says, therefore, if thy enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give water to drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coal of fire on his head. What do you think coal of fire will be in that context? Therefore, if thy enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, drink. In doing so, you are giving him heap of you are heaping upon his head a coal of fire. What will coal of fire be? What will coal of fire be? Is it karma? Is it a karma? Yeah? What do you think coal of? Look at it. Walk in peace. Recompense no man evil for evil. Avenge not for yourself. Do not yield to wrath. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him water to drink. In all of these things you are doing, you are heaping a coal of fire on his head. What will coal of fire now be? Walking in love, which is what? Forgiveness. You said it already. Go back to your scriptures. Look at it again. Dear beloved, avenge not for yourself, but rather do not yield to rot. That means not allow people get back a punishment for what they've done for you and to you. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. What is that repayment? The repayment is what? Coal of fire heaping on your head. How do you heap a coal? So if somebody offends you, how do you heap coal of fire on his head? You forgive him. How do you forgive him? When you see him hungry, give him food. When you see him thirsty, give him. When you are giving him, when you are giving someone that is hungry, that offended you. So if you offend me, and you now tell me you are hungry, and I give you a bowl of meat pie to eat. You are thirsty, I give you cheap exotic to drink. What did I do? I quenched your hunger and quenched your thirst. In doing that, what did Paul say you are doing? I'm heaping coal of fire on your head. What is the real heaping of coal of fire on your head? I'm forgiving you and walking in love. Is that clear? So how do you heap coal of fire? So if you come and meet me now and tell me that he did something wrong to you, all I need to tell you is what? Heap coal of fire on his head. How do you do that? Brother, have you eaten today? No, I don't have money. You kept money and give it to him. Why? If it lieth with you, walk peaceably with what? All men. If it lieth with you, recompense to no man evil for evil. Do not avenge for yourself. Do not yield to wrath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at it. So in case you don't understand from verse 20, look at verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with... Is that Matthew 5, 43 downwards? Is that Matthew 5? Is that Matthew 5? Yeah, turn to Matthew 5. See what Jesus said. Matthew 5. Look at Matthew 5. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Look at verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Was he in the Old Testament? Did they hear it? Did they see? Did they know? They knew. But I say, when you see Jesus say, I say, you listen to God talking. He is the connecting tipex to everything you have read. You have heard. You heard. I'm not disputing that. But I say unto you, love your who? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. When you do that, what are you doing? You are heaping coal of fire on their heads, which is what? Forgiveness of sin, which is what? Walking in love. Which is what? You are not yielding to wrath. Which is what? You are not recompensing an evil man with evil. Which is what? Because he lied to you, you are walking peaceably with all men. Look at it. Look at it again. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you. Bless those that curse you and do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Look at why he says that. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which have you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? So, the publicans know to do good to those that do good to them. But the publicans don't know to do good to those that do evil to you. Every default average mind knows that when someone does good to you, you should do good to the person. So, if you are doing that alone as a believer, if that is all you are doing, there's no difference between you and an unbeliever, because an unbeliever knows to do same. So, how do you distinguish yourself from an unbeliever as a believer? You look for those that do evil and do good. How do you recompense them? You recompense evil with good. What are you doing? If they are hungry, give them food. If they are thirsty, give them water. Because in so doing, you are heaping a coal of fire on their head, which is what? You are walking in love towards them and granting them and giving them forgiveness of sins. He now says, do not overcome good with evil. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with what? Hallelujah. It now says, for if you love them which love you, which I just explained, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? If you salute only your brethren, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Verse 48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is what? Perfect. So your Father which is in heaven has heaped a coal of fire on the heads of mankind.
How did he do that? He gave his son. Hallelujah. He gave his what? He gave his what? Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In the giving of his son, he is giving that daily bread. Look at it. Paul says that when you are when someone that is a wicked person or your opposition is hungry, what do? Give him bread. Were we hungry? We lack life. What did God do to us? He gave us that bread. Are we together? We lack life. He gave us the bread, which is what? He gave us his life. So can you see that? He's now saying, be ye perfect as your father is perfect. So we give other people bread that do evil to us because that's what our father did to us. Because Bible says in Romans, Paul explains before you get to Romans chapter 12, you have read Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where he says, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. He says, we know that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the giving of the Holy Ghost. That we have, because of this, we have been delivered from wrath. So the same way God gave us that bread, that we were evil ones, we were doomed for wrath, we were doomed for destruction, he gave us that bread, which is what? Christ. We are to give others that bread. The same way he heaped a coal of fire on our head, which is walking in love towards us and giving us forgiveness of sins, we are to give others what? Forgiveness of sins and giving them what? Heaping coal of fire on their heads. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. So we know, we looked at Colossians 3 verse 8 when Paul says put anger aside. Ephesians 4 verse 31, he says put anger aside. Put anger aside. We corrected that verse and made it look as if Paul is saying tolerate anger but don't sin. Hallelujah. Let's round up in 1 Thessalonians. I remember I was supposed to teach this 3 weeks ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 first, verse 9. God had not appointed us to rot, but he had appointed us to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together with this. Why are you comforting yourself with this? Because you've been delivered from wrath. Yeah, look at the second letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul is writing to a church that is going through persecution. He's writing to a church that is going through persecution. And what does he say? Look at what he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because by your faith growing exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. Look at verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulation that ye endure. So what were the people of Thessalonica, what were the Thessalonians enduring? Persecution, right? So they had patience and faith as a constant in their persecution and tribulation. Look at verse, that means they were suffering for the gospel. Is that true? They were suffering for the gospel. Look at verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Look at it again. He now says what? Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now remember that word recompensation. What does it mean to recompense? It means when somebody gets back what? Or when somebody gets a reward for his decision. That word there, recompense, is the Greek word that means antapodomi. Yeah, you can write that down. Antapodomi. 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 Yeah, you don't need to we are speaking English. It is a word that means to return. Yeah, or when somebody reaps from what he is doing, when somebody reaps on what he is doing. That same word was used in Luke 14 verse 14, Romans 11 35, Romans 12 verse 19, which you just read, and Hebrews 10 verse 36. When somebody reaps. It's a sin that it is a righteous thing meeting with God to recompense. So a good way to write that would be, seeing that it is a righteous thing with God, yeah, that they get in return, or they reap, they get in return. Now remember, okay, are you writing? Writing now, think about it. If these are Christians, yeah, and these are the persecutors, are they saved? Are they saved? What are the persecutors doing to you all? Persecution and tribulation. What are you doing? You are enduring in faith and patience. Yeah? Yeah? You are enduring in faith and patience. You know, so Paul was writing to you. Paul was writing to the people that are enduring in faith and patience. While these ones are doing what? Giving what? Reaping, rather, inflicting pain and tribulation to you all. Paul is now saying that it is a righteous thing with God to see that you get a recompensation for what you are doing. What are you doing? You are rejecting the gospel. It's because you are rejecting the gospel that you are fighting those with the gospel. Is that true? Is that true? So in the real sense, in as much as it's your life they are torturing, what they are against is what? The gospel. What they are against is your message. What they want to hinder from spreading is your message. See the next verse. See verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So these ones that are putting persecution, making you go through persecution and tribulations, they don't want salvation. But there is a recompensation for their not wanting salvation. Is that true? Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. So God loved the world. How do we know he loved the world? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. Now he says that, look at John 3:36. What does he say? He that believeth on me has escaped what? Wrath. So that means those that don't believe, they are doomed for wrath. That means those that don't believe in salvation are doomed for wrath. That means those that believe have escaped what? Wrath. Are we together this evening? And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, they shall be revealed. So what is God's role to those people that are persecuting? Look at it. Everyone look at me. If you are the right are God's people, right? And you are the left are the persecutors. What is God's role in this story? To what? How do you know that? It is God's will that all be saved. It is God's will that even though you are a persecutor, it is God's will that even though you are in the camp of Boko Haram right now, God wants you to be saved. Why? Because the precious sacrifice for your salvation has been shed on the cross. So, no matter how many million days that this one spent praying for your death, God cannot answer that prayer. Why? Because God still wants to see that you are saved. Hallelujah. But in your rejection of that message of salvation to get you saved, there's a recompensation for that action, which is what? Destruction. Which is what? Wrath. Which is destruction. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance. That word there, vengeance, is the word that means justice. You know, when you are just to someone. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. What does it mean to obey the gospel? And what does it mean to obey the gospel? What does it mean to obey the gospel? To believe, right? So those that obey not the gospel, there is a vengeance. How did Paul say God's vengeance is mine? Is therefore, if your neighbor be hungry, give him food. Yeah, we were those that were hungry and did not have life, and God gave us food. How did God give us food? He came down as Christ, which is the bread of life. So we've eaten of that bread and we are full and satisfied. So what is vengeance to God? Vengeance to God is what? He's still walking in love. Hallelujah. But remember when we're explaining Hebrews 10:25, if you sin willfully, remember that. What is sinning willfully? Rejecting the gospel, right? Remember we're explaining Hebrews 6:4-6 when it says that for those of you that have tasted upon one occasion the good news, yeah, there is no other sacrifice that can be done yet. You know all of all those explanations we did. So it means that, okay, it was in leaders meeting I was teaching that. Remember when I was teaching in leaders meeting, I was talking about when he says that a sin unto death and sin not unto death. Remember that teaching? Do you remember the answer?
I'm going to explain this next month when we are doing investigating scriptures. Sin unto death is what? What is sin not unto death? John says in 1 John 5, he says that there is sin. Look, turn your Bible. Turn your Bible. 1 John. 1 John.
1 John chapter 5, verse 16. Look at 1 John 5:16. If any man sees his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them, that sin not unto death. If any man sees his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, that he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that ye shall pray for it. What is sin unto death? And sin not unto death.
It's getting there.
What is sin unto death? Sin unto death is rejecting the gospel and you are dead. So a man that is on the street that rejected the gospel and died, he has seen that sin of unto death. But a man that is on the street that is still alive, that has not died, but he has rejected the gospel, he has seen that sin that is what? Yeah, that's why he says that. Look at it now. Sin not unto death. He's dead. What did Paul say? He said we cannot ask for it. But the sin that is not unto death, which is an unbeliever that is still alive, can you still ask for salvation? Why? Because he's still alive. Yeah, beautiful. Okay, what was I saying before I got there? I think we're explaining 1 Thessalonians, right? Go back to 1 Thessalonians.
We'll do that. We'll do that properly. Check out the scenarios, right?
Second Thessalonians chapter what? 1. Yeah. So we're saying that. Yes. So I remember what took me there, and that obey not the gospel. So a man that is still alive, that does not obey, which is disobey the gospel, which is unbelief, he is the one that is sinning a sin that is not unto death. But the one that what is dead, he cannot receive salvation again. Yeah. So he's now saying that what, there's a vengeance on them that know not God. How do you know they know not God? That is, they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it now. Says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? That word there, from, is the word that means away from. Yeah. Write that down. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? Away from. Away from where? Away from where? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? Away from where? Away from where is in the Bible? Away from where? The presence of the Lord. What does he explain as the presence of the Lord again? Which is what? From, away from. That same from. You remember, you know, you see, if you check the Bible very well, there are two froms. Is that true? There are two froms in that verse. Yeah? The two of the froms are away from. So, let's read it this way. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? Away from the presence of the Lord and away from where? The glory of his power. So, punishing destruction away from the presence of the Lord is equal to what? Away from the glory of his power. So what was Paul discussing? He was discussing about those that oppose the solution to sin. Who are they? Those that oppose the solution to sin are those that bring the persecution and tribulation. And he's saying what? They shall be what? Punished with everlasting destruction. Now, remember last week we ended our teaching on something. What did we end our teaching on? What is light? What is darkness? What is darkness? So if I say put darkness in this room, what do you do? You what? You switch off the what? Like, is there anything in itself that is darkness? What I mean is this: can you wake up this night by 12 a.m. and go to your room and put light in your room? Can you do that? Yeah. Can you wake up at 12 a.m. in the night and put darkness in your room? Yes and no. Yeah. How do you do that? By taking away the light. So what is light? What is darkness?
Darkness is simply the absence of light. You cannot say, Brother Sonny, please shine darkness in this room. You can't do that. The only way to deal to see darkness is by what? Taking away light. So God is light. Yeah. So when you see who shall be punished with everlasting destruction away from the presence of light. Oh, I just said the answer. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? How are they punished? They are punished by what? By we seeing the absence of God's presence. Because it says away from the presence of the Lord. So if you say presence of the Lord is dark, is light. If you go away from light, what do you have? Darkness. Can you see that? What do you call a recompensation to them for not accepting the solution to sin? What is the solution to sin? Believing the gospel. What is the gospel about? The gospel is about the presence of the Lord. They are fighting the gospel of about the presence of the Lord. What do they get as a compensation for that? They are neglecting God's presence. What are they getting? His absence. What is his absence? Darkness. Hallelujah. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction away from God's presence? Away from God's presence. That means they are neglecting God's presence, which is given to a believer or to a man upon believing the gospel. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, so I'm going to explain this properly. I'm going to explain this properly when we're doing the full teaching of God's wrath. Yeah, but what we just saw there to see is that what we went there to see is that what? People were going through persecution. Some people were opposing them. What they were really opposing was the message of the truth, which is the gospel. Are we together? In their opposing the message of the truth, it means that they are not receiving God's presence. How do you receive God's presence? By believing the message of the truth, which is the gospel. So, by your rejecting of God's presence, which is by rejecting the gospel, what do you have? God's absence. Is that true? Yeah? So, if God is light and God's presence is light, you are rejecting God's presence, which is God's light. So, what are you really getting? You are maintaining what? Your darkness, which is you are getting God's absence. So the wrath of God is about God's absence. The wrath of God is a recompensation that a man gets because of God's absence. How do you know God's absence? When you reject God's presence. How do you accept God's presence? By believing the truth. You know, he says in verse 7, it says by obeying, verse 8 rather, by obeying the truth. So when you obey the truth, you have God's presence. When you disobey the truth, what do you have? God's absence. So that God's absence is what you call the wrath of God. What did God do to give you his absence? Nothing. He presented his presence to you, but you rejected his presence. And what you now have is what? His absence. Glory to God. Yeah, beautiful. I believe that we've done a little to the new man.